morning, everybody.
Let's start there. Okay, before I get into individual questions and see how people are doing, I want to develop one more concept here that might be of use to for the rest of your life. Or until you wake up, until you see it for yourself, if you haven't seen it for yourself already. Okay. When I say just be, the goal is to rest, not be actively aware, but to be gently, naturally aware of a stillness that lies beneath your mind. The positioning is kind of useful because this in this time-space continuum, this positioning, the locale tends to be useful. But for some people, it's behind your thoughts, and for some people, it's beneath. So just be. So on the first day I asked, in that zone, what do you need? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. If you're only half there, you'll want something. Well, it would be nice to, or, well, it's boring, so a bit of distraction would be nice, or do this again. It's like, if there's any comment at all, you're not fully there. You're just not fully there. Your mind is imagining you're there, but you're not there. And being awake is living from there. So there's only one place to go. There. So can you find that place where there's silence, rest, a natural letting go. Nothing going on. You can call it pure awareness, pure consciousness, the absolute, outside of all of it. We've loads of terms because none of them really touch it. Put your hand up if you can't access what I'm talking about.
Can or can't?
Cannot. Cannot. Okay. For those who weren't able to drop in, relax about it. Because the more you grasp it, the further it goes. When you're not able to drop in, it's useful to separate your mind and your body and relax your body first. And when that feels like, okay, there's no holding, next thing is slow everything down. Relax your body, step one. Now we're going towards relaxing your mind. So slow everything down. Because very often the speed of your mind is the thing that won't allow the natural pace to arise. And if you have to go through your body to relax it, that's fine. And you know, that's where yoga came from, is it's the prerequisite to meditation. And you know, we use yoga for other things in the West, but that's what it's for, is to sort out the body so that then you can then drop in. So it's not that easy to just drop the body. If you need an hour of yoga, you need an hour of yoga. You've got to give yourself what you need. So separate the body and the mind, and there's a little bit more access. I can come back to that later on if you guys are still stuck who found it difficult to go in. So let's look at this paradox. If you know in that place you don't need anything, and it's good to realize that for yourself. I can say it, and I know a few of you there said nothing. If you really know for yourself, actually, I really need nothing there. It's a great eureka. It's really great. Because then you know, anytime you want anything, guess where you are? Believing your thoughts. That's where you are. If you want anything at all, you're believing your thoughts. It's that simple. I want this morning to the point I want to make is to split what is needed for the well-being of your body mind and what's just desire. What is the voice of your mind that is so far from touching reality that you're believing your own story? When you're believing your own story, you desire something. So, okay. So there's capital S. Oh, I always pick up the dead one. The self-stillness. You know this stuff, like being. So that's where you are. Okay? Now, then there's the me.
Hey, Jack, can we have a little more light?
Yeah, sure. Wants or desires? What it's going to want, what it's going to desire. So here we have a thing, a state, whatever, the object of your desire. Call it. This is very simple. The moment that you're in here, something is out of sync. Your true nature is out of view. It's eclipsed by the me story. By virtue of the fact that you're running a me story, you will know that there is a deficit. You will have to want something. You'll have to want something because there is an innate deficit if you're believing your mind. You'll have to want something. You want things to be a certain way. You want sex, drugs, rock and roll, a new car, a toy.
Sugar.
You would want something. Better job, yeah. Better anything.
Enlightenment.
It's all the same. It's all the same. They're all desires. That's the only way, prerequisite of having any desire, is that you've left your true nature. It's the only way you'll have a desire. So you can go about satisfying the desire if you want. Is it going to work? It can't work. It actually can't work. All it can do is when you get the object of your desire, the pain of wanting stops for a little while. That's what happens. So it cycles, circles back up to this and negates it for a little while. So we end up with no desire for a while. It works for a little bit. The desire subsides. You get your bar of chocolate. Oh, that's delicious. That's great. I'm sorted. Really? For how long?
10 minutes.
Yeah. Because you're back up here again. And what's going to happen? Unless you're here, you're going to want it again. This works. And it's exacerbated by marketing, by commercialism, by friggin' hell, everything. everything out there, no? We're trained to want. You're trained to want. This will make you feel better. This is the desired car, zip code. Anytime you want something, you have an option. It's like, I can go after the object of my desire, and it'll deaden that longing, yearning for a little bit. But I'm going to still be circling around in the little me story. If I drop inside, the whole frigging thing doesn't exist. I mean, really doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. It can't exist unless you put your attention on it. The little me is only there because you believe it is. There is only a little self there for as long as you believe it's you. But as long as you give it any validity at all, it's not. It's actually not. That's the full sentence. It's not. When you drop into beingness, stillness, and if you have to go through the body, and if you have to slow everything down, and if you get it 1 in 10 times, fine, that's fine. Be gentle with yourself. It's fine if you get it, if you can't do it at will. Unless you practice, you won't be able to do it at will. You won't, because if this has been running for a long time, and especially if you've had a lot of trauma, you know, you've been brought out into the phenomenal world with force, with violence. So, yes. You know, so there's going to be a lot of these loops that run automatically for you, and you think they keep you safe. That's trauma. It's the trauma story. Something will keep me safe, something will keep me safe. In knowing that you're safe, and knowing that it's just a story, it starts to fade a bit, and go into the background a bit. There's no avoiding that work. There's just no avoiding that work. You can do the laundry before awakening, or you can do the laundry after awakening. And if you don't do it at all, you're going to be an asshole. Awake or not awake, you'll be an awake asshole. That's it. That's the deal.
So to be an asshole and be awake means that you are constantly in a state of being. You have cleaned up your stuff.
You will have needs that you will get resolved in very subtle, tricky ways.
So you're not fully awake. Yeah, not to belabor the point. Yeah. Yeah.
You're awake. You know the truth.
You know the truth.
You know the truth. And a spiritual concept that has fooled you, because you know the truth, the spiritual concept of, well, it doesn't matter because I don't exist. So that spiritual concept will be a hiding place for the little eye. Mm-hmm. You see? Oh, it's not real anyway. It doesn't matter. And you'll find a gazillion ways to justify behaving badly. Mm-hmm. Gazillion ways. You see? The needs will come out somewhere. This needs to be resolved. Everything has to be seen through. You can't leave any stone unturned. You can't. But it happens that you can land here and this cleanup hasn't happened. It happens. Okay. Any questions on that? Yes, Danny.
I don't mean to stop you, but you said that the running happens automatically sometimes.
The running of this?
Yes. There's times when I'm still and I'm just being before the thought, but there's a sense of not having that peace. Like there's a welling up of, like almost like physiological, like without me running a story, there's a sense of feeling uneasy. Is that because of the amount of time that stories have been running for years?
Yes. And you might find another story still underneath it.
Yeah.
The ease, the beingness penetrates every cell of your body. It's a frequency. And if it hasn't penetrated every cell in your body, then some of your cells are still spinning on the old frequency. And that's what you're picking up.
So what do you do when that happens before you start to think and become?
Here's one thing. It's like, okay, where the unease is, what have you got to say? What's going on? So by giving it a bit of attention, you're staying objective.
With the working line?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You are. You're doing something, you know, with an end goal in sight. To expose what's the belief, what's the thought, what's the experience that is still being believed in your cellular your physical body. So keep your distance. It's not about going into the story and like, oh, I feel like crap, this isn't working. It's like, okay, now you've identified it. Now you know. Now that's the thinking mind. So, working mind, we're doing a task. What have you got to say? What's going on? Sometimes the witnessing of it allows it to release. It really does. Just see what's there. Then you might find a big long spell and it's not there at all. And then it pops up again. Look again. Look again. Keep looking. Eventually it dies out. It dies out. Yeah, but something is trying, it's trying to settle into your body. Embodiment is trying to happen, Danny. That's what's trying to happen.
Embodiment is trying to
happen. Yeah. Where the your awakening is for the mind. It's a shift in perception.
Right.
It's to view things differently and to view things the way they naturally are. To see what is real and what is unreal, and to see that your mind is creating all of this, that our minds are collectively creating all of this. It's not real apart from that. Okay, so you get all that recognition. And for you, love does it. When you dissolve into love, you know that this isn't real. At some point, the invitation to go deeper than love will be there. But for now, your body is holding on to something of the old story. And there's an intelligence in every cell. There's an intelligence in every stone and every leaf. It all has an intelligence. While the awakening happens in our mind, it has to drop into the body. It has to drop in. So that we call it embodiment. It's like, if you're familiar with the chakra system, it's like the wisdom of the truth has to go through each chakra. So it washes out the beliefs, you know, like free will and intimacy and sex is important and my bank account is my ticket for happiness and I'm safe, I'm not safe, who's my tribe, let me be accepted. So these beliefs are held in our chakra systems. Huh? So as the energy, the wisdom of awakening gets embodied, what it's actually doing is gouging out lies that have been the coping strategy of our chakra system. Right? So that's the embodiment. That's what's going on for you.
Like stored in the cells. And
stored in the cells, stored in the chakras.
And it's felt there, like you were saying about the love, is actually felt in the body in that same way?
Yes, for you that will work. For you that will work. It's like, okay, can I bring love there? What's not of love? And you might have to hear the story that's in the body. You know? Yeah, you might have to. You can't, overlaying something works some of the time, but actually we're better off with like, well, I still believe that. You see?
Yeah.
And if you see that you believe something, there's a much better chance that you're going to dissolve it. No?
Gouge it out.
Gouge it out. Go after the taproot of it. Yeah. So witness it. Witness it and then resolve it. Finally, love. Elizabeth, I think your hand was the second one up.
It was about the thinking mind and the working mind and
yeah.
And the pathways, the pathways that you're used to.
Yes.
And then immediately, you know, one comes out.
Yes.
The interest, curiosity arises.
Yes.
And then the working mind goes right into the thinking mind. And then that's, so how does one reorient that?
Curiosity is the bridge for you.
I just find curiosity arising.
Okay, curiosity for some people is in the thinking mind and for some people is actually in the working mind.
Okay.
I'd like to shift curiosity into the working mind.
Right.
And here's why, is because kids are curious.
I see that.
To be curious, you're open, you have no expectation, you're in the present moment. There's just, your perception is wider. Because there's no knowing, no assumption of what's going to happen next. That's your functioning mind. That's not the me, myself, I. What can I get out of this? What's going to happen? I've already decided. And I have control. See? There's the thinking mind's strategy. It doesn't do curiosity. It does cure. It might do curiosity, but what can I get out of it?
Oh, no, just curiosity.
Yeah.
I find curiosity, but there's, so I, what I see is the patterns from the working mind can lead me to the thinking mind.
Yes. Curiosity itself won't do it. What happens after curiosity?
Well, I saw something actually happen in, you know, someone, and I saw the whole pattern. I thought about something, and then what I sometimes thought arises, and I think, oh, that's perfect, that's great. My mind gave me this, right?
Yeah.
It just showed up. And then the social connections were occurred, and I shifted into the thinking mind.
Okay.
And I actually saw that, felt it. I feel the smallness of that.
Yes. So,
it's just...
At what point did it sink in? Was it after you saw these social connections? Was it after you met the story of it?
It's sort of concurrent. I felt it. I saw the thoughts. I felt the contraction. I said, oh, that's what's happening. I knew it. I mean... So it's just a... And it's here. It feels good. I'm in retreat. But I'm going to go home.
Yeah, yeah.
And those old patterns are habit.
Yes.
So.
I'd like you to find exactly where the thinking mind comes in. It's not curiosity.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, it's self-reflection somehow.
Somehow, exactly.
Yeah.
It's about, becomes about you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You need to position yourself when you're making these judgments about people, or there's some positioning of yourself.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
It's worthiness, you know.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So you're looking for confirmation or affirmation of that belief system.
I mean,
this
all goes down to love. When we lose the connection with love, we start trying to find it somewhere else.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I see that.
Yes.
But it's just patterns. I see the patterns.
Yes. So giving your body and your mind, giving the Elizabeth woman a daily dose of love, of dropping into here.
All right, let's do this for Elizabeth.
Aww. All right.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just less cerebral about it and bring it into the heart. Drop it down into the heart. That happens in embodiment too, you know? Some people grab onto the love part, but it's actually a concept. They're just saying, oh, it's all about love, and it's like, This kind of love is different. It's not the phenomenal external love. You know, love the world, love, it's like, it's fine, it's like a religion. This is a whole different thing. It's that actually, it's seeing that movement is love. That's what you'll find if you drop into the essence of love. Movement is love.
It's just patterns.
Yes, it's patterns. Mm-hmm. But you got to go after them with a scalpel.
Yeah. I don't like weapons, but I've been using weapons in my mind.
Indeed. Indeed. That's great. That's great. That's great. And then let's go with love. Find the essence of love. What is love? That would be a good piece of homework for you. What is love? Because I can tell you what love is, but you have to find it yourself. Otherwise, you're buying a concept and we're not moving anything.
Just arises. Love for me just arises. Just
okay.
Movement, flowing.
Yes. Okay. Then why do you have it limited for yourself?
Habit. I think it's just, I go into this different space, contraction.
Yes. Okay. Maybe if there was more access to the love inside all the time,
yeah,
you wouldn't slip into searching for it through the thinking mind.
I see that happens. I have a grandson, he's 14 months, it's happening, I see it. Because now he needs attention. Before he didn't need attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
At 14 months,
yeah.
So it's a long time.
Yeah. It's doable, though.
Okay. Get out my scissors and needle and thread and patch it back together.
And drop it, drop back into love.
Yeah.
Always drop back into love, drop back into love. And don't worry about love showing up externally for you. It's for you. It's all for you.
It's all negotiation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Let it be all for you. Yeah. The rest of it can take care of itself. Yeah, okay, we have a load of hands up. Annie, I think you were...
Just very briefly, yesterday I had a little visual that you just described early on today about how I was forced as an infant due to a very scary circumstance where my mother exposed me to danger to flip into me, myself, and I at too early.
Yes.
And it created this whole self-referencing, and
yes.
I'm constantly getting cues, am I safe?
Yes.
And it's not that I'm enamored of myself so much, it's just really more about... It's sort of a survival thing.
Yes.
And I saw that.
Yes.
Because it's always been juxtaposed to knowing, a deep knowing.
Yes.
Which I came in with.
Yes.
So it's been this constant, like, why is that there?
Yes.
So this has been very helpful to elucidate further.
Yes.
What came to me yesterday is the
That's
genesis
right.
of this.
That's right.
Yeah. So to erode it is simply to, I guess, I'm thinking, to erode it, to nullify it, is to come into being. That is, I mean, I don't want to
tell your mind that you're safe.
Yes.
Because when we're running one subconscious belief
yes.
for like 60 years
yes.
plus,
yes.
you know, you're running
to be
you're
exact.
Running a subconscious belief, I'm not safe, because of
yes.
a strong traumatic early experience. You've got to flip that over and know
mm-hmm.
that you are safe.
Yes.
And, it, you know, you've got to address the I'm not safe.
Right.
Because jumping into this, it's not going to work now that you've identified the source.
Yes.
It's not going to work.
Exactly.
It's not going to work.
It'll
just
be up here. It'll be a concept.
It's like, because does this keep you safe? According to the little eye, not at all. Not at all. That's inactive.
Right.
That thing is zoning out. That's what your mind thinks.
Right.
It's a cop-out. That's what your mind thinks. Because it's not there. So it's like... Shit, I'm not in control anymore.
Right.
You're going to go into that zone. I'm not in control. You're going to switch me off.
Yeah.
By hell, you are.
Yeah. So it'll be a fight.
Of course there's a fight.
Yes.
Of course there's a fight. So it's got to be retrained. And it's got to know I am safe. I am safe.
Okay.
That incident is over 60 years old. That was okay. I wasn't safe, but I survived it. So maybe I was. Maybe I interpreted it I wasn't safe.
Yeah.
But I was.
Yeah, I was used as a buffer, so...
But yeah, but yeah. No, you didn't
yeah.
die.
I didn't die.
No, you didn't. And
well,
you
there were
you
several
were.
After, but I mean, it doesn't matter. It was the same theme.
Yeah, it's the belief I'm not safe.
Right.
It's like, I survived it. So somewhere, there was safety.
Yes.
Somewhere. So
I
let's make that
yeah.
bigger.
Yeah.
So you've got to negate the I'm not safe old belief that you've trusted, that your mind trusts. It really believes it's keeping you safe. And that's why it does all these loops.
It does all these loops.
Mm-hmm. So you've got to go after the original belief. Am I safe? Somewhere you believe you're not.
Right.
Because you trust your mind to keep you safe.
And it lets me down over and over again.
Of course it does.
It's a house of cards. You know?
Of course it lets you down
yes.
over and over again. Of course.
Yes. And it's...
The answer is never
cool.
in the mind.
It's never in the mind.
No. But it needs to be redressed.
Okay. So
safe.
Just have a knowing I'm safe. And tell my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Until it's a new belief, I am safe. When it's very deep, you have to flip the belief over.
Okay.
You can't just walk away from it. You've got to flip it over. You can go to therapy forever, but you'll end up saying, oh my God, I've seen all this, all the,
right.
you know, the patterns that have come
right.
from one solid belief. It really is, I am safe. I am safe, actually. And I kind of always was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm starting to feel it, yes.
You
yes.
were.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
were safe.
Yes.
But your mind went into fight or flight to try
right.
and protect you, and that's what's been believed now, still.
Right.
Do you see?
Yes.
So I am safe has to be known, not just
okay.
brainwashing. Known.
Okay.
You know, Ginny?
I had a question about when tears come spontaneously,
mm.
Kind of... usually because of something, some sensation, or something that's being viewed, or something like that. It feels clean. It doesn't feel like there's a, oh, about it. I'm just wondering where that comes from. Is that always referenced from a thought?
No, not always.
Because sometimes it doesn't feel like it is.
Yeah, it's just passing through.
Yeah, and there's no, there doesn't seem to be a charge about it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a charge after a little while.
Ah.
Because there's an association with tears and sadness, but in the beginning,
okay,
it's just almost like a, like there's a witnessing, and oh, now tears are back.
Okay. Okay. If there is a charge after a while, because a story is being, an association is being made because of a story, you've got to figure out, is your mind finding a cause for it, or was that a buried cause? You see? Was there a hidden concept underneath it that caused it that you're not seeing for after a while? Or is there an event happening in your mind? It's like something's happening out there. Oh, yeah, that's because. And we put things together, and they mightn't be the scenario, correct scenario at all, but we do this all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't feel like that.
Okay. All right, then. So your mind is playing catch-up and adding a story to it that is not actually accurate at all. Yeah. Then it's okay. Then it's just a happening. It's just a thing that happens. Yeah. I've seen that a fair bit. And it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Just don't go into story with it. Derek?
So this diagram makes total sense when the object is a material thing, like a car or a house or
okay.
a new job, whatever.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through when what I want is to feel safe and when there's trauma involved? Because it seems like I can go through this process and, you know, use whatever tools to try to convince myself that I feel safe. But that's the object of my desire. And then when something else pops up, it's like all that crumbles. So it seems like that's not foolproof if the object is a feeling or to resolve a trauma.
Okay. Okay. Wanting enlightenment or safety means that you're already in here. You're already in here. There has, as long as we're in the thinking mind, some desire is going to come up. It doesn't matter if it's enlightenment or safety. It really doesn't matter. The issue is that you're believing your self-referencing mind. Now, if a trauma has to be resolved, if it needs digging up, you'll have no option but to go into the trauma. You'll have no option but to go into what it is, to dismantle its potency in order to leave the me, myself, I, and go into the stillness.
And that's the part I'm wanting clarification on. So it's when something's pulled me out of the stillness and I have no option but to go into the trauma, I feel like I get caught in the me loop trying to do it, trying to resolve it. So is there...
If you can have some objectivity and know that, okay, this is the personal me and this is the personal me story, but not dismissing it, then there is some objectivity in what you're doing. What you're describing without that objectivity is that the new desire for wanting to be free of trauma is mixed in with... Okay, you're wanting the to feel safe. And then your back looping desire is, I want to dissolve the trauma. And you're doing it with no objectivity from the outside.
No, because I think I still have some understanding that I want to resolve it because this is what keeps pulling me out of the stillness. I haven't lost that completely.
Because I want the stillness.
One wants the stillness.
Yeah, you've another... the resolution has another desire embedded in it.
Okay.
That's what's going on. To come after...
I get a glimpse of the stillness. Some old wound pulls me out. And then, as I'm processing that, the me jumps in and takes ownership of that process.
Yes.
So how do we avoid that?
Yes. The toolkit when the me jumps in and takes ownership over the process. The toolkit that you need needs to be love, gentleness, surrender, openness. When the tool is... Are you laughing? Are you laughing?
Because you're right.
That's like, a powerful thing.
Oh, that. Oh, that.
When there's a pull to, like, I want to fix this, I need to get rid of the trauma, I want to go back to the stillness, that energy, that efforting, there's no love there. It's just the energy of desire. I'm just saying the same thing another way.
Yeah, and it's kind of working its way through me.
The holding of the trauma is the most potent way to heal it. Yeah, holding the space for the trauma, being with it, is the most potent way to heal it. Because when we're holding it, we don't have expectations and I need to fix this because I want. We don't have the overlay of new desires.
Yeah, I'm just realizing it's the same mechanism that is involved when I was talking about my professional life. It's the only way I knew to do something is like to just...
The grind, contract.
Yeah.
And see if there's a belief that if I hang out here, nothing will happen. That's, no activity will happen at all.
Yeah. That's for the chair later. It's the only beliefs that arose.
Okay.
My homework.
But somehow, you sorry to get a little bit domestic, somehow you tell me I work too much, you know, that I do too much work, and this is what's behind it all. And there's an awful lot of activity that happens through this form. So it's 15 days in the week, as you often tell me, I would work 15 days a week, you know? So you don't have much evidence, really, inside our front door, that the stillness is inactive and ineffective.
Yeah, because it does, to me, it doesn't look like stillness at all.
Ah.
Yeah, it's like
beautiful. There we go.
Oxymoron.
Yes. Okay, so there's the perception.
And it's being told on the body.
Sure.
For me, that's not stillness or balance or, I'm confused there.
Yes, so sure, like one of my things is finding balance. That's one of my phenomenal things is finding balance so I can nurture the body, but kind of not really concerned about the body. Kind of not really. It's like down there, as you know.
Yeah.
It's not really the priority. So, you know, it gets a look in. I still mind it, you know, eat well, I give it a bit of care, but it's not central, not at all. This body, not at all. It'll keel over someday, and that's fine. It's there to serve what I am. And if its service wears it out, so what? I prefer to be rusty than to, you know, or to wear it out rather than freeze up with rust. So your perception, when you see me working, your perception is clouded so that you find, your mind will find more evidence to keep you stuck, to keep you in the little me loop. That's what happens.
So it's like an active stillness?
So you're coming from the belief that the stillness is inactive. So now we're trying to, let's move that a little bit. It's actually not true that the stillness is inactive. Movement is love.
Mm.
It doesn't stop at all. But we have a tradition of sitting in meditation. And if you're really still on the outside, it means you're still on the inside. What a load of bullshit. You know, you have a lot of meditators and by God, is there crazy shit going on in their head. They don't correlate. They don't. But in order to learn what liberation is, in order to find out how pure consciousness is the movement behind every action. When your mind is no longer directing your action. When you go to that liberation place, that's the time, be still, unless you are moved by pure consciousness. That's when physical stillness is useful. That's when physical stillness is really useful. But there's just this tradition that in order to still the mind, your body must be still. So that association isn't helping. Is this making sense?
Yes.
So what are the qualities of desire that come from the self and being and stillness?
No, there's no desire there. Nothing is wanted.
What is the...
The movement?
Yeah. What is the quality of movement so you can distinguish?
What is the quality of the movement?
Like, I really wanted to be here in this retreat, and maybe it just came from me, but maybe it came from consciousness.
It probably came from consciousness, and your mind grabbed onto the idea and imagined that it made it happen. That's usually what happens. That's usually the thing. Getting still inside to where you feel, okay, what will I do here? What will I do here? It'll feel like intuition for a while. Mm. It'll feel like intuition. And it has that kind of, there is intuition, but this is much deeper. When you really got it, you'll be doing something and your mind will be saying, oh, gosh, I'm doing this. Oh, look, your mind is watching yourself doing it. It's like, all right, okay, that's pure consciousness leading the way and your mind is playing catch up. That's the classic. But in the meantime, it's like, okay, let's see if anything happens here. Let's see. And it might be that, Renata, where you're at is that just follow your intuition. That might be just so that you stop following the mind and you're following your gut feeling. That's a good halfway house. That's a good way to start trusting something else. You know? Because following the movement of pure consciousness, that doesn't even start until after awakening for most. But I'm all for, like, far-reaching. That's just my style, you know? You have to decide if it's useful for you or not, you know? So to set that up a goal might be too much right now. It might be. You've got to figure it out. But start by following in your intuition. Say, okay, is there another wisdom inside me? What should I do here? What's the feeling here? And it might be absolutely blank and say, okay, I've got to use my mind. I'm not getting anything. Okay. Let's use my common sense mind, you know? But play with things like that just to see, where does the wisdom come from here? Where's the movement coming from? The direction coming from? You know? Mm-hmm. Yes, Sid?
Follow up on Derek's.
Yeah.
That was really helpful, talking about the difference between desire and holding it, the mind.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was doing a lot yesterday, and I don't know if this is overly anal, but there almost seemed to be tears. Like if I was sitting...
T-I-E-R-S or T-E-A-R-S?
T-I-E.
Okay.
I was sitting, there could just be a kind of the listening to the silence, and that would do it.
Yeah.
But then if I was moving more or active, there would be like lighting a fire up here, and the fire would just burn the thoughts. And then if there was something even more gross there, as far as density, then there would be doing like Byron Katie's work on it. But I guess there's that to run by you. But the other part is how I'm doing it, that this just seems so important. From a place of holding or from a place of wanting to dissolve the thoughts. Does that make sense?
Not fully.
Not fully.
Okay, so you're asking about methodology. Are you?
There are two parts.
Yeah, there's two parts.
There's the methodology that I've got, because yesterday was beautiful. There was a lot of, it's first time since California.
Right.
There was a sense of laughing, like I was walking, but I wasn't moving.
Yeah. Beautiful. There we go.
And then there.
Derek, walking, not moving. And then I didn't say it.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I get it. Is that walking without love?
What seemed kind of required to keep staying in. What seemed required was some amount of some rigor or some, you know, attention to, because it would just grab. Yes. I'd say that happened, and I also say to the other side, I also spent 3 hours on my computer.
Right.
Because the mind was resistant. It's like, hey, this is really important, and because there was so much peace here, like things I hadn't written in 6 months, I could just, you know, the mind seduced me.
Yes.
But, so I guess the question is about, like, the process that was, like, the methodology,
yes.
and then more about holding it versus
yes.
wanting.
Did that methodology come up on its own, the tiered approach?
It was from exploring. Like,
yeah.
the listening was the most gentle, fine
yes.
way of doing it. But
yes.
that really wouldn't work if I was walking.
Yeah.
And I needed something more rigorous. And then when something really grabbed me, even the fire wouldn't work. And I needed to go at
to
it
unpack,
even more.
Yeah, to really unpack the beliefs.
Yeah, or even for it to dissolve. You know, I had to do the is it true thing.
Yes.
And it would work. But that
yes.
sometimes took a minute to
That's
really
right.
do that.
That's okay. I like that you have a variety of tools. That's what I really like in what you're saying. And that you're developing your own system of appropriateness of what works, what tool to apply to what. That's really good. That's what I like about what you're saying, that you're not, I have one hammer and everything gets hit with a hammer. You're not. You've got, okay, this isn't going to work here. Let's try this. That's what I like about what you're saying. And it will change, of course, as it does. You know?
And ideally, it all shifts. So just the listening takes care of everything. So, right? It's more subtle.
Yes. Maybe not always. Maybe not always. Maybe the ones that are left are taproots. You know?
You mean that require more rigor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
If ones that are left are, you know, deeply rooted belief systems, well, then maybe the listening won't work. But for Danny, for embodiment, yeah, the listening will work. And then if it's like, oh, darn it, that really is a cesspit of belief systems I never saw. Okay, now he's got to go digging. But they won't, every bit of holding the space won't have that. I like your mixed toolkit. It's okay.
It's okay. And what about the holding versus like doing it for wanting something? Like, wow, I'm really grabbed. I want to be peaceful and present right now in the workshop. Therefore, I'm going to like address these thoughts. There's definitely a wanting with that. So it's a kind of a me doing, you know, it's like the being versus kind of getting caught in the me and doing this kind of clearing.
Yeah. Be gentle with yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. Be gentle with yourself. Like, you're here right now, so being physically here is doing the cooking anyway. To not be present and go into your head to clear other stuff means you're not being present. So being physically present with what's around could take priority. That would be a good thing to do. Do you know? But going into the mind to miss what's in front of you, not a good idea. Do you know what always amazes me is people in concerts and they're videoing what's in front of you. That's what it's like. It's like, oh my God. You actually don't even want the experience fully. You don't. You're putting a barrier between you and the experience, and you probably mightn't even watch the video later. You probably post it, but you probably won't watch it again. You know? And who wants to watch a concert on a on a phone? You see? So it's like, wherever you are, let that experience happen. It's okay. Let that be your default. You know? And yeah, there's a desire to, I'll just make a note of those ones that are popping up and I'll look at them next week. Or not. But right now you think you really will go after them. And you mightn't next week because other stuff will happen. You know? The 3 hours on the computer, you know, sometimes a divine efficiency. The working mind can come in and it's, I wonder if it was looking for a distraction or if it was actually, as you talk about it, I didn't feel a density dropping. It's like, actually that felt like he, that you weren't completely able to discern what was going on there. And I'm glad you were suspicious that it was your mind looking for distraction. But as you spoke about it, your density didn't drop. It's like, actually, he was being led to do some computer work yesterday. That was a divine efficiency.
Yeah.
That's wisdom, to know the difference. It's trial and error. Trial and error. It's like, okay, I could be suspicious of my mind here. It enjoys the distraction, but is that an overlay on pure consciousness doing this anyway? Pure consciousness led me to the computer, and my mind believes that, oh, this is great, there's a distraction. But actually, the movement of pure consciousness. Your mind can hobby horse and enjoy it, but as long as the motivation is coming from the core. Making sense?
Makes sense, yes.
Great, great. Jack?
So I've noticing particularly since I've been here that in getting out of a loop, which is typically happens that I have certain recurring stories, and I can recognize trauma, particularly a feeling that it's a broader, more general sense of something that I don't even necessarily need to address. I can hold it, and I don't even have to push it. I get insights, and they feel a lot more peaceful. I don't even have to act on them. But I'm not quite sure how I sustain that. I mean, particularly as you get back into being busy, the tendency is, well, here's my trauma. Let me, you know, kind of loop a story all over again. I don't want to do that. I mean, I kind of recognize that this is a unique environment, and this can come up in a peaceful way. It can come up in a way that is really distancing from loops or other kinds of details of a story. So. I'm just looking for some thought about the holding, the recognition of trauma, the holding of it, but not getting too invested in needing to want to sort out every detail. Just let it be. In other words, just let it be energetically rather than as an idea or a thought or a story.
For you, it's worth asking it, what do you need? For you.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold it and then say, okay, what do you need? What can I give you? It's like serving that part of you that got neglected or was hidden or didn't have a voice.
And you say, what do you need? Am I asking that?
You're asking the trauma. You're
okay.
Asking that bundle of energy because you can find energy.
Okay.
But what do you need?
Okay.
And the holding is part of the giving it what it needs.
Right,
it's
a real liberation to not be in a loop and just let that energetically be what it is.
Yeah. And see if it needs something.
So I'm asking that.
Yeah, you're asking that, yeah.
Okay.
Right. And do your best to give it what it needs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
there's
good.
Something about... There's a pattern, Jack, that I see in your system where your voice wasn't heard enough.
In the past.
In the past. Uh-huh. And it's tied in with the trauma. And we can heal that by listening to the trauma. That's where it's packaged now. So when that bundle of energy shows up, it's important that there is the adult Jack now bears witness to what the trauma has to say. That witnessing needs to happen. Yeah, it's very old.
Mm.
But your voice wasn't taken seriously, it wasn't heard. So that's why it's very important for you, because that needs to be righted, you know? Make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Sure,
Tom.
Well, what about chocolate?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but
yes.
You hear about yogis who just sit in samadhi and don't do it, or Rama couldn't even speak, because their depth within the self was so profound, no wants came out. They didn't move or don't move. Without wants, there would be no movement. I guess that's... So where does play come in?
Okay, not quite. When Ramana had those few years of not being able to speak, he wanted stuff. But he couldn't move it because the wipeout was so sudden that it made his task-oriented network, his working mind, got dysfunctional. It stopped working.
Okay.
So that's what happened there. The samadhi was so big that it stopped the working mind. So he couldn't. He knew rats were eating him. There was little other kids pissing on top of him, and he knew, and it was horrendous, and he couldn't freaking move. He was starving, and he couldn't say anything about him. He physically couldn't eat half the time when they put food in front of him. It's just like the functionality stopped. But there was an awareness inside of like, this isn't kind of working, you know? but he couldn't do anything about it. And there's more acceptance than anything. It's not being pissed off or angry. He couldn't crank up that much, you see? But the working mind was like, I can't do anything about it. I couldn't move. I just couldn't move. So it's the working mind, and it took a while for it to crank up again. That happens when an awakening is too abrupt and we're not prepped. So the integration takes much longer, and you have to train the working mind again. Some people forget language. Some people, like this dude I hear, passport beside my bed, going to the mirror, Groundhog Day, doing the whole, trying to, what date is it? What? Who am I? What's the package here? You know, to like dial in the program, you know, to like crank up the working mind with enough reference points that I could function, you know? So, yeah, sure, that happens if we jump into the deep end, or life makes us, throws us into the deep end. But for the gradual integrated way, that's the only way that makes sense to me. It's like, no, live normal lives. Why not have normal lives, of course, instead of opting out, becoming dysfunctional, learning how to live in the world again and go back into the world. It's like, stupid. But that's how it used to be, but I think it's not necessary. So... So that's just the information about what happens there.
Okay,
and of course,
yeah,
and our natural tendency is to deify, to deify. And it's like, that's just separation. He was just another guy, you know,
right.
Like pull it down to, you know. okay, because like that place that you go into is the very same as what Ramana goes into, or Paramahansa Yogananda, or anybody else who's around the place. That's where you go to, you know. It's the same zone, same place, same isness, same being. There's no compartment for Raman and a different one for Tom. Like, it's the same. Okay, so chocolate?
Play.
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 Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah, but this, it does come from a want, yes, and a desire.
You know, this this is, yeah, curiosity, we talked about earlier, comes from the self. The cosmic joke, all of this is play to your true nature. All of this, even the crappy stuff, is play to your true nature. All of it. If there is this, thank you, Tom, this is actually the other part of what I want to talk about when I stood up. What you need for your body-mind mechanism to be in balance, address that. Make space for that. And if that's exercise and good food, and nice friends, and an active social life, or listening to music, or playing music, or if that's what keeps you in balance, give it to yourself. I spent a good few years not knowing the difference, and like, I can't tell what is a desire, or what is for my general phenomenal well-being. And I'm going to cut the whole lot of it out. And I did. I cut it all out. Now, there was a cost. Sure. But I learned something. And I, like, that's why I like kind of crystallizing these teachings, so that like you don't have to walk on the knees on your knees in the desert like I did. Like, I was just stupid. I didn't have anybody showing me the way, you know? So what is, you've got to develop the discernment to figure out what is it that keeps Tom well, healthy, and happy. And if that's going 2 bike rides a week, well, then that's what you do. Now, 4, 5, oh, well done. All right, so that's what keeps you well. Now, if there's an attachment to it, if it doesn't happen, are you thrown? That's worth, that's why I stopped everything. It's like, okay, I'm not going to do anything that's healthy for me at all, actually. And let's see if I'm thrown, if I have an attachment to it, if there's desire there, or if it's like, I'm just out of balance. It's kind of stupid. I need to do this just to help my body function better. So it's about finding that balance. What's important for your well-being and what's a desire? Only you can figure out where the line is between the two.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, okay. It's sort of... I think there was a line from Krishna in the list. It's like, everything in moderation, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yes.
The balance is probably
yes.
And you're talking about curiosity. I innate curiosity. I want to know the names of all these trees and bird sounds, that kind of thing. No, I'm not going to go Google it.
Yes.
Just to stop that outward movement.
Yes.
But it's from a good place, that curiosity that I feel.
Okay. If it's curiosity, yes. If it's desire, no.
However, I'm not sure when curiosity, there's a sense of the me being satisfied. I've got more knowledge. I've got more something.
Uh-huh,
there's
uh-huh.
a little package there.
Uh-huh.
A little, a plus mark.
Uh-huh.
Right. And it's
right.
not clear.
Okay.
You know, so
where it tips over into the mind.
Yeah.
Hobby horsing on top. It's a perfect example. And then it gets fat on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just don't do it.
Just don't do it. That would be the safest.
Yeah.
Until more clarity comes in about the line between the two.
Yeah. All right. Well, you answered my question.
Yeah. Great. Great. Mary, Lina.
Can I answer my own question?
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, Lina.
When I got out of the chair the other day, the word stillness was perfect, but it's not being still. It's a space. It's a
that's right.
It's an energy field.
That's right. That's right.
Mm. And Derek is missing.
Yeah, just hasn't seen or experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Just hasn't seen or experienced.
Yeah, it's because he thinks my physical body being busy is the absence of stillness.
It's all there. It's just a matter that some. I mean, I just even say saw it.
Yes,
I don't. All I knew something was different when I got up.
Yes,
and I went, and then when I was maybe an hour, I don't know, a little later.
Yeah,
this time this whole week. Is
sure,
crazy.
Time goes a little wonky.
I realized, oh, that's what it is. It doesn't matter whether I'm moving.
No.
It doesn't matter what if I'm talking. I mean, it doesn't matter anything. It's just a field.
That's right. That's right. It's just a field. Yeah. Or a place you're looking from.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, if moving quickly or talking threw you out of it, then it wouldn't be real at all. Then,
exactly.
then nothing is attained. Nothing. Yeah. Yes, Maggie.
I just want you maybe to re-explain to me. I had a very strong feeling, and I just couldn't get rid of it. And I was trying to meditate, and I was trying to get into the self, and it wasn't, and I did it, and I did it. And all of a sudden, that I had left, and I was okay. What's happening?
What was the feeling?
Yes.
Pardon?
What do you mean?
No, what was the feeling that you were trying to... that came up that you were trying to work with?
A bit of anger and frustration.
Ah. Yeah. Is it gone or did you bury it?
No, I was doing something, all of a sudden it wasn't there.
Yes. Lovely. It spun out, huh?
Yeah.
It spun out. And at retreats like that, things burn off and you don't have to do all the work. You know? Yeah. Yeah. But showing it the light, bringing it up, being aware of it. If we're hiding something, that's going to stay hidden. But it was like, darn it, this thing is up. What can I do? What can I do? And it's just sometimes just the exposure of it. You know? It goes. You just burn off more efficiently at satsang. Yeah. Whereas if you were home, you might have had to dig it out and see what's at the core of it. Or sometimes things just pass through too.
Well, that's what I thought.
You know, it's like there's no huge story with this. It's just I just wait it out. I'm just gonna pay no attention to it. And it's like, oh, it's actually gone. That was huge yesterday. That happens too because your attention is taken off it. Because everything that presents as your experience has to have your attention on it in order for it to exist in the first place. It has to have your attention. That's the fuel. And so when our attention effectively goes back home, or softly goes back home, if there's absolutely no attention on it, it can't exist. And that kind of constellation of that energy goes because we've no connection to it. You see? So that once we disconnect it from it, it changes a little bit. So we don't fit into it anymore. So that's the energetic part, you see? Because we've been in a dance with it. And our attention goes someplace else or drops within, or we have a good deep sleep or something, and like this thing goes, I've changed in some way because you've disconnected your attention totally. It goes. That's what happens underneath all the time. But often we have to do different things to pull out our attention from it. You see? Yeah, great.
That was really helpful yesterday about, seeing that going into difficult emotion and loving it and receiving love that way. And somehow yesterday, I didn't have to do that.
Yes.
And I was so even keeled.
Yes.
You know? It was like, wow, like this is normal. This is how other people feel.
That's how other people feel.
I told you that was exhausting, what I did.
Yes.
Now what's exhausting is the me going into wants and going back to the me, like that whole thing looping, really most of the day yesterday.
Right.
And you've given a lot of tools and you've talked a lot about what to do about that. I'm wondering if there's anything that you would tell me specifically about what to do with that.
How did you get on with contentment? I remember a few years ago.
It was good.
You worked well with contentment.
I liked it. And sometimes I remember that. That's a good one, yeah.
It is a good one.
Yeah.
You're able to do contentment.
Yeah.
It suits your system.
Yeah.
And there's no desire when you're content.
Right. If I'm really content.
If you're really content.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because contentment is a way of pulling this practice. It gives the mind some place to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's very close to this, you know?
It's an alternative to wanting. It feels better.
Yeah. It feels better. Yeah. It feels better, but it won't slide into this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I've been exploring this transition between the self, pure consciousness, and the me, and following that. And I was going to say something else, but piggybacked on his contentment, I've been having these music going in my head, songs, Ravel's Bolero one day, it feels like that was a transition that helps me to stay in the stillness while I'm still going on in the middle of the day.
The music comes as a transition. No.
As a bridge.
Between?
To bring me back to from being engrossed in the outer activity, bringing it back into the...
Music comes as the bridge back home.
Right. That whatever I'm doing, whether it be in the senses or the activity, is the overlay on the pure consciousness.
It is.
Right?
It is.
And so that kind of like helps me when I use explaining to just kind of gently bring me back.
That's super. Yeah. It works for you. Yeah. I can see as you're talking about it. It does, yeah.
And the other question I had was this morning I woke up from this place of scared, like uncertain. I was uncertain about being me.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And that's that me part, right? So the me, all of a sudden, is in this place of uncertainty.
Yes.
And so it's trying to figure out what changed, what happened, right?
Yes.
And in that is the awareness of it's doing that every day. It always wakes up knowing something else is in control or something else is happening, and changing the dials, or changing the experiences, or changing what's going to happen today. And that the me's not in charge of that. And it doesn't like that. So it wakes up with this, whatever mechanism, you're wrong, or you did this wrong. So what I'm hearing is, something's wrong with me, or something's wrong with here. And I'm wondering if that's accurate, or if I'm just making another story.
I think that's a memory that you had that thought someplace way back. It doesn't feel like it's fresh. I wonder if it happened when you were born, Michael, or within the first baby years. You know, it's like, shit, something's wrong here. You know, kind of like, what the fuck, where did I land? That kind of.
I feel like that every time I wake up.
Pardon?
I feel like that every time I wake up. Why am I back in this body?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why am I here? Do I really need to do this again? I've done this all before. Why do this again? Almost.
You're believing that it's real, though. In that moment, you're believing it's real.
Right. And then I kind of say, okay. Distance myself.
Yes.
Lately's been being back in the stillness.
Right. So
and
then
something arises in that way.
Yes. Okay. So you're looping out and you can talk yourself back in. I'm after the original place of where you had that first perception. What am I doing here? What the heck is this? I'd like to uproot that one. I'd like if you uprooted that one. The original shock to your system. Because you're just replaying a shock. There's a bit of a replay going on. Because when you do awaken, the natural thing is to wait for your day to crank up. That there's just a gap. Because the stillness is there. Unless we're dreaming, you know, we're processing something. Okay, then there's another show going on. But where I want to get you to is when you wake up in the morning that the stillness is there. That you're not looping through this like, what am I doing here? You're not looping through that in order to find the stillness. There's no need to loop through that. So how did that start? What happens for most people is that there's just stillness. And eventually the day goes, oh, shoot, it's such and such a day, I've got to get up. There's that. Nothing, nothing, nothing. No program, nothing's happening. And I want that to continue. So then that pure consciousness is the only thing that moves you. So we've got to get rid of that loop so that you don't have to work to getting back to what is real, capital R real. So you've got some habit of when it comes to the morning, what's unreal is presented as real, and then I have to unrealize it again. You know? Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it won't break until you go back to where you originally found that perception. Actually, this can go pretty quickly. I can find it for you. Yeah, yeah. This is going, yeah. Just give me a second. Okay. That's beautiful. Okay. What happened there? Sometimes when people talk about something, there's just a recognition of that it's like right a new thought, or there's the first time the thought came, and that was what the person was like before the first time they had that thought. So there's sometimes a clue of like, oh yeah, that's where that stamp came on as part of your identity, as part of your patterning. And so that showed up for Michael there as he was talking. It's like, oh God, that's not today or yesterday. And he knows it's not today or yesterday. It's what happens. But it's like, okay, there's the first imprint. And so I just tune into that imprint. This is the same as what I was telling Jack to do, for example. It's just like, be with it and say what you want now. And so just going into that like energy ball that had the first imprint, I found myself saying, but you're not here. You were never here. You were never here. And somehow the ball of energy went, oh, I was never here. I imagined that. That was my imagination. So I just want to tell you, because there might be some persistence to this, but I think we have the root of it. The knowing that you were never here. You actually are not here. You're imagining it, Michael. This is a dream. Like, we dream when we're asleep at night, and we understand that one. This is a dream. Not right now. This is a dream. This is a dream. You believe the dream when you wake up in the morning. It's like, here we go again. What am I doing here? What's going on here? Find reference points, quick, so that I can manage here. You're not here. It's your imagination. So your imagination has that way of suddenly cranking up to just recreate a me story. That's all it's doing, is just to imagine that this is real. That's your way of imagining it's real. That's your default when you wake up, to give this some kind of plausibility. You see? But it's not real. And you were never here. You were never here. It's not about getting out of here. You were never in here. You know? We all look to kind of get out, to be awake, and it's like, the only way to see, to get out, is to see that you were never in. You were never in. You just imagined it.
The image that comes to me is this image of just a waking up from a, like you have a dream, right? And if you wake up from the dream, there's no time, and there's no space, there's no characters, there's nothing.
That's right.
There's no physicality to it.
That's right. That's right. The same.
And that's what this is.
That's what this is. No different. That's what this is.
Because I've always known that something's not.
Yeah, it kind of had to bring. Your mind had to. Yeah, exactly. To join some dots. So being awake means always knowing that this is a dream. You never believe the dream. It's just always a dream. But you have the ability to have the two points of perception running at the same time. It appears as real, but it's not real. But you, it's never more solid than an appearance.
And the mind's like, don't know how to fix it. I've been trying my whole life.
Don't know how to fix it?
I've been trying that all my whole life, right? Or not, or the last, whatever, 30 years or something.
To try what?
Get that.
To get that. Hmm.
To understand that this is a dream.
Yes.
I have a knowing that it's a dream.
Yes, you do.
That it's not real. That this is a real dream. This
okay.
is a dream that I'm having.
Your mind won't get it, but it can surrender to it. Your mind is being beaten. It can't go there. It can't go there. It's being beaten. Its only way is to say, okay, my terrain is to play around with the movie, within the movie. I can only be active in the dream. Your mind is only active in the dream, and it's saying, you've told me I'm in a dream? Okay, show me that it's a dream. And it's like, no, you're the character in the dream. You are the thing in the dream, dear mind. So it's like it's believed that it can figure it out. You see? It can't. It's a dream mind. It's only in the appearance. Your thinking mind is only in the dream. Only. It has no validity. None. If there's no attention in the thinking mind, it doesn't exist. It doesn't. If there's no thought running about Michael being, you know, a phenomenal man in a story, if there's no story running, there is no Michael. But the absence of him isn't felt, because the absence of him would also be missing him. It would be Michael's story. You see?
Say that part again.
Yeah. So when there's no me, there isn't an absence of me. So your mind can't say, oh my God, I missed myself. I woke up and I missed myself. Because the missing of yourself, the no me, could only happen to the me. It would have to be in the dream. You see? It really is only within itself. But the mind imagines, without myself, there will be chaos. Because I'm the controller. That's what it likes to believe. There will be chaos. It'll go frigging bonkers. So tell me about this dream thing so I can manage it a bit better. Because without me, madness. But when there is no personal me story happening, there's nothing missing. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing incompetent. There's no absence. There's no Michael guy absent. You see?
Yes. I noticed yesterday that as I was practicing this in the stillness and moving through the day and trying to follow the flow of pure consciousness, there was a drop back or an awareness that the me still trying to get even that right.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But you see, I noticed it myself when I was sitting there with the harmonium and I was like, I said something and I said, oh, enough of the lecture, Jack. And yeah, it's perfect that this came up because it's like, I'm going to talk more about this and explain what that was about, but not now, you know? There was an awareness of that. And I was saying, look, you've come this far. Don't screw up tomorrow and go off to the beach and, you know, like, and listen to crap and just have, you know, have a mind-driven day. And it was like, okay, it's going to sound like, it sounds like a directive because words are dualistic and I'm the teacher and those roles fit in and blah de blah. Okay, so then we're going to have people who are well-disciplined doing this, so they're probably going to do it for brownie points or to be doing the right thing. Shoot, look at all these loops built in. See, all these loops, everything can get interpreted by the mind. The mind will use everything to make itself fatter. Everything, right? But really, if better words, if better vocabulary had come out to serve the pull of pure consciousness, you know, it would be that, like, whatever your mind tries to do is too much.
Mm.
It's too much. It's not needed at all. So putting it back in the box isn't that easy. You kind of have to see that it's not real, that it's a liar, and that it's a limited tool for creating a reality feel to this world. That's what it does. The thinking mind I'm talking about, the self, the me, myself, I mechanism.
And I can still see that. It's, I feel it as a, what you call an overlay, the front.
Yes.
That I'm in.
Yes.
But even, I talk as the reference is, I'm still me. I'm in that reference. So shifting it to that reference, the pure consciousness beneath, is where I'm.
But do you believe you're Michael? Because the language is fine, because the language is dualistic, and we have to say I when we, you know. Whether you say I and you mean the personal I, or whether you mean the character and you know you're not the character, we still have the same language. So
yeah,
the language...
No, I'm not. I'm just the character.
You know you're not the character.
I'm just the character. Yeah, Michael is just the character.
Okay. And do you believe you're that character? You don't think so?
I'm just inquiring now.
Yeah.
I didn't think so. I didn't think I was that person.
Okay.
But now I'm not so sure.
Oh, yeah. There has to be absolute certainty that you're not. I mean, certainty. It's deeper than, I believe I'm Michael, I believe I'm not Michael. It's like, okay, drop both. The certainty comes from a different place altogether. Like where the idea of actually that you are the character is just bonkers because you've seen through it.
I'm not Michael.
Okay. So then what is that mind mechanism? Okay. Okay. So then prepare to die. The mind gets beaten. It gets brought to its knees. It loses. Prepare to die. Personalized is dying, you know? And the survival instinct is keeping him chugging along. Something he's got to do, something, and it's like, ah, oh, okay. And you're right, it is a survival mechanism that's making him, I got to do this, you know?
Got it.
Yes. Good. Yes, Mary.
So, this is hard for me to articulate, but that system,
yeah,
I think it's exquisite, okay? Because what it does is it makes people become seekers, because you can't find it out here, right?
No, you can't so find it outside.
And what it is it's a metaphor for my family, because there was no way that I could ever get any kind of acknowledgement or recognition or validation or appreciation or anything from them. They were relentless, right? So what they did was they sent me to God, which is what that system is. And what's funny about it is I tell my clients about this all the time. You can't get there. You're not going to find it out here. But I was going, why am I not really living that?
Yeah.
Because you teach what you have to learn.
Absolutely. Right? You teach what you have to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it sure? Yeah.
I think the gentleman Michael was talking about when he wakes up. I also have something not exactly like him, but this has been going on for as long as I can recall. And it's much less now, but sometimes I wake up, and in fact I woke up this morning this way, and first I'm in a kind of a, you know, transition, and then the personal mind cranks up and starts, it's almost like it grabs something ugly and deep and like chunks it into my mind, or it could just be like you have to do this and that, or it could just be you're not good enough because blah blah blah, like, oh, yesterday you said this to somebody and they're going to hate you, or it, whatever, it just starts up with this kind of a panicky anxiety producing thought.
Yeah.
It could be a myriad of thoughts.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's something similar to what you were talking about with him.
I'm not a medic, but I put money on this. Your adrenal system is firing, and your mind is finding thoughts to match the adrenals. Your adrenals are out. And when you wake up, your adrenals are shooting, and you're literally, you know, we will match, we create stories to match experiences. That's how we manage. It's not the story isn't the origin of the issue, it's your adrenals. It doesn't suit you to have your adrenals firing in the morning, but they are firing. It's just too much. It's too much adrenaline in your system when you wake up. It's physiological, sure. That's where you'll find the solution to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I already have decided I'm going to cut out a whole bunch of stimuli in my life. A lot of the seeking of information that just is like a habit, like, oh, I'm bored. I'm going to go find, just open the internet. And of course, it's like,
rabbit hole.
Billions of things. I'm going to just really cut out a whole bunch of that. So that may help. And also I can, one of our good friends is a naturopath. I will simply talk to him about it.
Absolutely. Great. I like it. Good. You're going at it with two prongs. I like it. Darla.
So on that, you said on the first day I was hiding in the back.
Yeah.
That
self-admitting to hiding. Okay.
That I couldn't fast forward because I had enjoyed the unraveling.
Yeah.
And so it seems like because yesterday was just sucky.
Uh-huh.
But part of that is because that it's like a sweater when someone stitches. For me, I think story. A lot of us come to you with story issues. And we feel that's that toddler analogy, like you're teaching a one-room schoolhouse where you have people
yes.
so many different.
Absolutely.
So, but it's the story, I think I understand, we have to pull those threads where all those places that we've stitched, where that trauma is, and
yes.
unravel that.
Yes.
And then we have like a ball of just, and then we'll see that, whatever that's called, the yarn for what it is. That
yes.
it's just a covering.
Yes.
And that's where all of this suffering is.
Yes. That's where all the suffering is.
And I left. I told you that.
Yes.
So now that got me sticky.
Ah. Did you feel responsible for her, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just trust that it's fine, you know? If you know that you're in, you know, that you came from the right place, inviting her, and then that's fine. It'll work its way out. It'll work its way out. Just chat to her next week and see if she's okay. That's all you can do.
Took a hard yank on the sweater.
See what's underneath that, huh?
Yeah.
She's giving you a gift there somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. Ragda, Tom. Yeah.
Yes. So there's so much going on, but yesterday I processed a lot with regard to unconditionally loving myself, with regard to, it's like things were just kind of processing really fast, with a big breakthrough that was completely tied to the unconditional love, which I had no idea until in the moment it presented itself, was the beauty concept and how much that is interwoven into my life, and how much it has been just kind of leaking.
What kind of beauty?
At a very young age, I learned that in order to be loved, you need to be beautiful.
Oh, so vanity beauty.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so, and then there's, you know, this attention-seeking behavior in order to feel validation.
Yes.
Of the ego. And it just kind of came so quickly and with emotion. But there's just this new seeing around that, which is great. And then just today and yesterday, a lot of catching of just the blind spots that
yes.
were there.
Good.
So that's good. And forgiveness with Mike and just big stuff
yes.
has just kind of been rolling just kind of quickly. But the sticky, again, I was awakened at 4 a.m. just this time with a dream of Mac and Joe, and trying to, there was like really rough waters and a lot to the dream, but me having to save them and realizing I can't.
Oh, okay.
And I have to let them
beautiful.
Go. Yeah. But with it, coupled, so there's like this spiritual, there's like the, okay, Mama Bear needs to be recognized.
Yeah.
And you can't submerge her.
Yeah.
Yet the attachment of ego, of, I don't know what has to be let go. There's something that has to be let go in the same time.
Yes.
And then it's all manifesting in this big drama with Mac. And those are the things that are really sticky. It's like this, it's kind of like that really strong current of the same thing that I felt in the first satsang. Like, I have to do this. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I have to do this kind of
yes.
thing. Like, is this about, it's not about me. It's like, is this about Mac, is this about the school? Is this about, like, what is this? Like, I don't know, but something has to be honored here, and I'm
yes.
just confused. And I've been praying for clarity, and so I just want clarity. If you can, like, I don't know what, I know that I need to address it with the school. I don't know if I need to write a letter. I don't know. I want to honor Mac for sure.
Okay.
In whatever way that needs to come.
Okay.
But I don't want to hurt him in the process. Like, I don't want to, I don't know. I just don't, I'm confused, and it's been the whole retreat and I can't find clarity.
It's okay. Be in the lack of clarity.
Yeah, there's that.
Be in it. Drop the desire for clarity.
Okay.
Let it be. can you be with not knowing?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. I already don't know why I'm moving forward.
Yes.
I just am because...
Yes.
There, I am.
Yes.
I don't know.
That blindness, you kind of got to get used to that blindness. Of just walking forward and you've no torch, like your flashlight, whatever you call it. You know, you've no... You're just walking forward. And there's no clue, no knowing of what you're doing. That's in there, and I'd like you to get used to it. That's one thing that's being offered right now. You have time. It's okay. It's okay.
I do, and I don't in the phenomenal world. Like, I need to...
It's not tomorrow. You know, it's Saturday. We've got until tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's see. But need you to get used to not having any rudder, any direction.
I don't.
Great. And be okay with it. Celebrate it. Be confident because you have no... By virtue of the fact that you have no rudder, but you're still going forward, be confident.
I have that. Like,
okay.
I know I'm going.
Okay.
And I don't, I guess I just need to not worry about the planning. Like, I was like, okay, I tried to, you know, the mantra and all of that. And I'm like, okay, this isn't working again. So I wrote down, you know,
uh-huh.
wrote down everything again. And yesterday I filled that void.
Okay.
Completely.
Okay.
I mean, like
right.
every space.
Right.
And, but it wasn't enough. And so then this morning, same deal. And I wrote everything down, like maybe in what needs to come out. But,
okay. This material is a question for here.
Okay.
But I need you just to sit in it and stop trying to figure it out. Stop looking for answers. Stop looking for solutions, signposts. Just stop. Be in the crap. Be in it. Just be in it. And honor that directionless as much as you love the direction and you know where you're going. The not knowing has to become so comfortable to you. Really comfortable. That's the most valuable thing you can get right now. Stop putting yourself under pressure to figure this out. There's no figuring it out. It's getting used to the not knowing. That needs to happen right now. Yeah? The resistance to being powerless. Feeling powerless. The phenomenal feeling of feeling powerless. It's the same as feeling powerful, actually. They both go together. You've got to see through both. You've got layers over what's trying to come through. And we can't, like... You want to be dialed in to see what's the action you're going to take. And it's like, that's not what's at play at all. The action is immaterial, actually. It really is immaterial. It'll be a temporary thing, but these issues are going to come up again and again and again. Let's go after the issues.
Issues, meaning?
Being okay with feeling powerless. Of absolutely not knowing. I'm like, okay, I'm the parent here. I'm supposed to sort this out and I haven't got a clue. Hey, all right, celebrate it. Celebrate it. Can you really be comfortable with that? Can you own that? Can you be really comfortable with that? Or does it mean something? You know, has your mind turned, oh my God, that means something. I'm incompetent. I'm not clear enough. I'm not, like, where's your self-image there? That kind of stuff is what you got to do. That's what's blocking it right now. You work with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Yes, Jai Priya sister. What's your name?
Kwanmay. I was wondering when you get into that space where you know that it's all a dream and it's not real and you're not this person and all that, how do you go on living? Like, you know?
Just the same.
But it just feels so pointless.
Ah.
Like, you know, just your life. Like, I don't mean like
killing yourself by anything. I just mean, like, how do you go on going to school and doing this and
if the motivation for your life came from Kwan Mei's belief system, value system, and you know that you're not her, maybe that belief system and value system can still run. Or maybe you can hear that, holy moly, pure consciousness was doing it all along. I just superimposed my own belief system and imagined that I had purpose and the whys, and I put all this story on top of it just to make it fit. That's actually what happens. But don't grab that as a concept. You've got to go deep enough to find out that every friggin' movement that ever happened was motivated by pure consciousness, is pure consciousness in action. And I just kind of like made it into storyland so that I could understand something and have something to talk about. So when you take off the story, we imagine that everything is going to stop. It's like actually it continues exactly the same, or pretty much the same. As long as we haven't been completely driven by, you know, the absence of light. You know, greed and such things. These things would stop. Nothing would support those. But at this stage of the journey, there's not much of those around. You know? Sure, self-approval, those kind of things would be in there. Those actions won't happen. That's where there'll be stuckness. But most of it would happen just the same. So, for myself, I know that these teachings are just, from this level, they're bullshit, unnecessary, doesn't mean at all. Doesn't mean anything. There's no purpose at all for me standing up here doing this work. Absolutely, it's a joke. I'm moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic. Like, really, it makes no difference at all. But there is a lens of perception that can see the illusion. And in the illusion, it makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it because of the illusion. I'm not doing it because of anything. It's just freaking happening. If I believed in the illusion, I'm sure I would think these teachings are very important. it's like the new Bible. Don't forget the teachings.
You're a great teacher.
Yeah, all of that stuff would you know, would play. If I believe the movie. You know? But I don't. But still participation and it happens. Participation and it happens. But I have no interest in it. And I know it's bullshit. Like, it's bullshit. There's nothing happening. There's nothing happening.
So what keeps you going?
That which moves everything moves me. It just keeps doing it. Get out of the way and you'll find life continues just fine without you. Honestly. You have to trust it though. There's a bit of trust, there's a bit of surrender. Because we imagine that without the values, the motivation, the purpose, that there will be the absence of values, motivation and purpose, which means I stay in bed all day every day. It's like, no, we're not talking about getting rid of half of the movie. The whole frigging thing is the movie. Not having purpose and values and beliefs is movie material.
Yes.
Do you see the difference? None of that features with pure consciousness. There isn't the absence of this. This is bullshit. And there's just this. See? Okay, great. Keith?
I'm curious. Do you perceive pure consciousness the same thing as pure energy or in Catholic religion of the soul?
Huh. Mm-hmm. Pure consciousness is prior to form, but it shows up as form, and I would call that pure energy.
Because that is all we are. We're the vessel through which pure energy exists and through which it feels its own experiences. That's how I perceive it.
Yeah, you can say that. And can you see at the same time that it's not real at all?
Of course.
Yes. Then it's a nice story to say we're energy and consciousness is experiencing itself. That's a nice story. You know? It's just a story. Knowing that it's real from within the movie and it's also not real at the same time. That those two perceptions need to run. That's That's how you function when you're awake. The two perceptions are running at the same time. Yes, Elizabeth, and then Sid.
So what arises is anything that arises from stillness is leaving stillness. It's not, it's part of the story. At whatever form it is, whether it's energy, whether
yeah.
it then takes form.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything that leaves stillness.
Yes. Yes.
And so to believe it is...
That's right. It's already illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I've realized curiosity is, it's my mind trying to say, okay, there's a divine order, and I can acknowledge that divine order, but it's like part of the dream.
It's the dream.
It is.
Yeah, any movement at all, and we're in dream.
It's,
that's why love is part of the dream.
Well, that's why love is part of the dream.
Any movement at all,
ah,
you just said it yourself, right?
Yeah, I see that. So love is the motivating.
Love is the movement that turns it into space, time, energy,
oh,
can
so
exist.
We can acknowledge, and love is like solid. I mean, it
yeah.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Love is that part. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's the doorway to,
yeah.
that makes manifestation happens, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then we have this story that
and
consciousness experiences itself.
Story.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a story. It's a story. Sure. It helps the understanding, but, you know.
Is stillness ever still, or is it always perpetual movement?
The illusion is the movement part of it.
It's a bit of a paradox.
Maybe not. Sid?
A trick question about movement. Whenever there's that, when there's been kind of touching the beingness here, the movement is always to be in nature, always. But the mind always wants it to be in nature, because in nature it's so much easier to stay connected to that. And the mind's agenda is, you know, this is its, you know, I forgot how I'll call it, it's its agenda, this awakening agenda. So it's like to discern, like there's, to discern between like, wow, there's really a true movement just to kind of go sit on the beach or be in the woods, or wow, the mind just loves the space and it wants us to stay in that, and that's by going into nature. That's the trick question.
So is there attachment?
That's tricky because the personality, it absolutely, you know, it loves the feeling and the experience of being in this. So yes, it wants to hold on to it. But also, So you're saying that it's a mind thing, the being in nature.
Yes. Or well, you found something that reminds you of the stillness. But then your mind grabs it.
No, that's not it. It's more maintaining the stillness. When
yeah.
there's that connection, you know, cars, music and things, the mind becomes so active
right.
when it's around that it can't, it's, you know, it kind of gets lost. But when it's in nature, it doesn't get distracted. And so there's just the resting in this. And so that's what the mind does, but I can't discern if it's a true movement of this, of beingness to be in nature, or if it's just the mind kind of wanting to protect the experience of beingness. And she nods.
That's to be figured out, Sid.
She thinks.
Yeah, you've got to know the difference between the two voices. It's okay. You can do it.
Is there a trick to that discernment?
Watch for you. The mind comes in secondary as an overlay. You have a pull to this, but then the mind quickly comes in and gets the juice out of it. But you do have a pull to this. You don't recognize the moment when the mind comes in and owns it. It's not that the mind is motivating you, actually. It's that the pure consciousness is moving you there, but the mind comes in so darn fast to take the juice out of it. Mm-hmm. So that's where the crack is. Look for that. Yeah. Yes, Tom?
Where do attachments fit into as related wants?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the really they start here, because attachment is part of wanting. For wanting to arise, for desire to arise, there is an attachment to the idea that something outside of me can make me feel better, complete me, can make me happier in some way. So already the attachment is arising, and it's arisen to an idea, and then it's usually full force and stuck to the object too. So it comes in here. It's being birthed here.
Okay. And breaking that attachment to do so, what works? Again, once it's seen, then okay, drop back.
Yeah.
Drop in.
It's like, yeah, and do one step before you drop back. It's like, oh, there's an attachment. Okay, can I be with or without this? Can I be with it? Can I find the place of where I can be with or without this? So you're pulling the power away from the value that you've given to something. Because
yeah.
You have to give value to something for it to be attached, for attachment to happen. You see? So just to take, there's attachment. Okay, can I be with or without this? Now you're withdrawing the power, then go to the stillness. Then go to the stillness.
Well, in truth, there's nothing that gives me what I want. Or no attachment.
That's right. None of this is going to do it.
Right.
None of this. This is just phenomenal life. It's not going to do it. It's fun, but it's not going to do it. Can't. It's self-perpetuating.
And in breaking that attachment, obviously some things arise. Other feelings and sadness or whatever may arise.
Yeah. And that's what's to be looked at. Yeah.
And when you say looking at, is it, I'm sorry, is that you just continue diving into that or just... Oh, I see it. There it is. Let it dissipate.
Yeah.
That's easiest for me.
Do that. Do that. And if you have the same one appearing a dozen times, it's like, all right, I have to go in after this. I have to go into this experience then and heal it. If it's really persistent, it's like, oh, okay. Dropping back ain't working. This needs treatment.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Crystal.
So, is love, like capital L, love,
yes.
Is that real? Illusion, or like, you know, like, so pure consciousness, like, we're trying to feel that, but then also to let go of that doesn't even...
There's two layers of teachings going on because of the... What was Darla's analogy? One room class, one room schoolhouse. Until you're awake, love, self, stillness, being, God, absolute, rock, beyond illusion, all of that is real. This is like, this is the okay, we've got love here, right? So then this is the real, and then this is the unreal. The ability to see both at the same time is embodied awakening, where you're not dismissing anything, all right? Liberation is a whole other ballgame, and this is seen to be. This is the flip side of this, so therefore it's in a dualistic realm. And it falls down. And identity with this goes. But it's post. It's a good bit beyond awakening. But I just can't say this is the end game. I can't, because it's not.
That makes sense.
Okay.
And then, so my other question. Okay, so you had said to take responsibility for our lives.
Yeah.
And then also, I love this idea of, like, I'm not doing any of it.
Yes.
That pure consciousness is,
yes.
Like, everything that has happened,
yes.
Is this dream, you know?
Yes.
Has been that play.
Yeah.
But I feel like my mind, you know, is trying to understand that. Like,
yes.
Like, how do I take responsibility and how do I also just allow?
Yes.
Because I kind of feel like I just want to
okay.
Let go.
Yes.
You know?
So responsibility isn't heavy. Responsibility is an ability to respond. That's all it is. It's not heavy. Okay? So what you're talking about is how do I have the two of these running at the same time? How do I let go and know the pure consciousness is doing the whole thing, but at the same time take responsibility for my phenomenal life? And they will seem like they're butting heads until it's like, oh shoot, they show up as linear. That helps a little bit. The first is always pure consciousness. And then it's like the me, myself, I is the glove outside of the hand. So everything stems from pure consciousness, turns into whatever. Love is the movement through the whole thing. Energy, form, eventually becomes story because the mind gets a handle on it and has to interpret it in some way into language, and we get story. Okay, it's one trajectory. And when you're bowing down to your divine essence, when there is, you know, Crystal is in service to what she really is, then there isn't a clash. You see? Whereas if Crystal has a personal I motivation that's at odds with the movement of pure consciousness, well, that's going to cause suffering because it's going too far, too deep into the manifestation. It's going to create an experience that you know, it's part of pure consciousness as well, but it darn hurts. And we want to move away from that. Pure consciousness moves itself away from that. You see? Does that make sense? If you can see it linearly, it helps a lot.
Well, it sounds like you're saying that there's a sort of purpose that kind of emerges in recognition of divine self, that, in other words, there's not a duality between, I should do this and this is good, and otherwise, that all gets resolved.
Yeah, that's an overlay. Yeah.
So there's just an energetic continuum between what you are and what you're doing.
That's right. There's an energetic continuum between what you are and what you're doing. Nice phrase. I like it.
That's huge, actually.
Yeah, Barbara and then Renata. Yeah.
I'm just needing to check in with this.
Yes.
Yesterday was great for me. A lot of stillness and it was just love everywhere. But sometimes it's from that place that these things, when I say thoughts, but just this knowing comes up. And I really like your analogy with this sticky thing on the with the fear.
Yes.
You know, and I was able to go back to where this started, and as I'm as it's unsticking, I guess, that I'm running into these. What brought this up was this morning when you were talking about traumas. And I've had a lot of significant trauma, but I've had also a lot of therapy around those traumas. And I realize that this picture in my mind of unsticking is. It's an illusion. It's not real. It's coming from the me. But I was thinking, okay, if I need to work more on those traumas, yes, but not necessarily. Just working past them, continuing to remove the fear. Unsticking the fear.
Yes.
It's like taking a piece of scotch tape and pulling it back.
Yes.
So I guess I'm probably wanting to know if I'm on the right track with this. It feels like it's coming from consciousness. I mean, what I'm doing, but I realize also it's an illusion.
Yes. Are those things okay, or does that?
Yeah, no, it's okay. Mm. I think I'm just needing to check in.
Yes.
See if, I realize it's an illusion, but I don't want to stay in that place.
As long as you don't use the concept, it's an illusion to negate anything. The unstickingness needs to practically, physically happen as the fear still shows up. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, okay, what's not seen here? What was the trigger here? What did my mind do here? You know?
And I think the other thing that came to me yesterday was being real consistent and working with this from this day forward, just continuing to unstick.
Yes.
And not lapsing into the real world.
You yes.
know, my world gets very busy.
Yes.
And I don't want to get caught up in that busyness.
Yes.
Forget about unsticking this.
Yes.
Pulling this chain.
It's very important, Barbara. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty clear yesterday.
Yeah.
And because of the stillness, I thought, okay, this is right. This is coming yeah. from consciousness. This is what I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people just get away with sitting in the stillness. Post-awakening, I'm talking about sitting in the stillness, and the crap burns itself out. But this actually won't. It needs your application of attention.
So I'm on the right track.
Yeah, you're on the right track, yeah.
Okay. I've never felt at more at peace than I did yesterday.
Yay! Cha-ching! Well done. Yeah. Yes. Yes. At Renata.
I come back to that dream, you know. So I was actually walking yesterday because the dreams were, for me, a little bit too layered. I was like, maybe I'm like an avatar, you know. Who just thinks that too much about of myself, but actually I'm, you know, being run by something.
Yes.
And if I start to do something different than consciousness wants me to, then there is a glitch, right?
Yes, like there's a glitch. Video game. Do you feel that glitch?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
So, you know, I wanted to check if it's just too simplistic. It felt a little bit too simplistic to think about it that way. But now, when we talk about it, you know, maybe it's...
It's really useful for now. Uh-huh. There will come a point when you'll find a problem with it.
Okay.
But it's really useful for now.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Okay. I also wanted to share that, you know, after our satsang, I just noticed that I'm just taking more space.
Yes.
You know, and the smallness, you know, I just, like, not abnormally, but, you know, I would just take more space. You know,
taking more space, yes.
Okay, that's kind of interesting.
That's wonderful. Actively do that at home, too,
yeah.
in your normal life. Actively do it. Yeah, great.
Great.
Yes,
when I was about 6 years old, something happened in school. And when I got out of school, I remember it so vivid. I went in from the school, walked up the stairs, walked across the presbytery, and then I was in front of the church. And I just got like an out of space situation. I was so sad of what happened to school, at school, so that I said, okay, so what happens if I do good or I succeed? And then what? And then I was up in the stars. And then what? And then what's going to happen again if that happens? And then what? And I was completely gone. And then you mentioned before that you mentioned something where I figure, well, maybe, okay, first of all, after that, I said, what's the use of doing anything?
Right. Yeah.
Right. But in a sad way, because I thought, in a way, it felt as if I had given up. And I was only six. But now the way you explain it, it makes sense. Like it's just like I'm saying, okay, so let it go.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just want to make sure it happens. So in the stillness, there is love, but when love... Love is a movement, and when it begins to move, it immediately takes you into the me story, the duality.
Does it?
That's what I thought I heard.
So your thinking mind does the me story. But physically moving around the world happens without the me story.
Someone asked when there's love or movement.
Yeah.
You immediately leave the left, the real side, and go into the unreal side.
Mm. The movement creates all of this. You can participate fully in the phenomenal, unreal world and have your attention resting on God. So living in the unreal world without any of the me story and the capacity to suffer, which is what this declining arrow is about. Living in the unreal world can happen when your attention stays on God. Love is what makes the unreal world show up. How you participate in it is the question. Do you participate in it with your thinking mind, believing that you are the one doing all of it? Or are you listening and allowing your body mind to service what you really are?
So love makes the unreal world show up.
Love is the whole lot of it. It's the whole lot of it. The whole package is love. But yes, you can. Yes, what you're saying, yes, this would be true too.
I guess I'm curious, like, what is the catalyst to take one out of stillness and create this unreal world, no matter how one chooses to participate in it?
Okay.
Why would there?
Yeah, because motivation doesn't happen here. Like, a cause and effect idea doesn't happen here. So we like to think, as Keith said earlier, well, it's just so that this can experience itself. And that's because we like to put a rationale, a logic, on everything, because it helps us to drop the concept. But there is no reason for it to do it. It doesn't even know that it's doing it. If it could see that it was doing it, it would have the opportunity to view dualistically. According to this, when you're totally in this, you can see that this never happened.
Yeah, I'm not so much looking for a reason, but what's the catalyst?
Would the catalyst be giving you a reason?
No, just an understanding.
Okay.
I need to know why. I'm more curious now.
A catalyst, a starting point, makes sense over here. It's not valid here. This is where it gets paradoxical. Because the tools of how you understand the world are coming with you so that you can understand your consciousness better. That won't work. It runs on a different system. It's a different code.
Yeah, maybe it's a chair question, but I'm trying to understand because we're wired differently.
You don't say.
Yeah. You grew up on a farm where there's always work to do. I grew up in a house where my parents were always stoned when work wasn't being done. It was like we work and then days end and then we're stoned. So I'm having a hard time. Like, if I were to be left in stillness, I could stay there all day, every day, if my mind weren't there. So I'm really...
That's what everybody would do. I mean, the mind is the only thing that takes you out of it.
But I'm also hearing that there's this movement to do all these things, even though you know they're not...
Oh, you mean the stillness would be your physical body would be still?
Yeah, like, for, you know, you crank up automatically, and I have to make myself crank up. So
okay.
I'm trying to understand...
We talked about this when you were in the loo, and I made a point of it as like, it's interesting that Derek's gone at that moment. And what it was, what we spoke about. Some part of him needs to hear it or wants to hear it because it's coming around, which is beautiful. The traditional idea that yogis must be still, that we're still in meditation, this is where it falls down. This is where it falls down. Because, you know, okay.
I didn't hear that part.
Huh?
I didn't hear that part.
Okay. So, you know, walking meditation or letting meditation bleed through your day. Buddhists talk about that a bit, and they're onto something. And they're the ones who talk most eloquently about post-awakening. So they're on it, about pure consciousness moving the form without an agenda. So when you see through the purpose and the reason and what I can get out of something, when you see through all of that, heck, there is a phase of where you don't move at all. Because you're not listening to pure consciousness and nothing needs to happen. And these concepts of like, oh my God, nothing matters at all, nothing needs to be done. These things show up and those concepts are being lived. Okay? We have another layer of where too much of the burnout happens and it does, and the functioning mind can't operate without the self-referencing network. And where that happens, and that's why I'm encouraging people, let's clean up the linkage between the thinking mind and the working mind, neurologically. Okay, going back. When the default mode network burns out and takes too much of the functioning mind, you can't freaking do anything. You're stuck in a samadhi. You physically can't. Functioning stops. You can't do it. That's no good in our Western mind. So there's a few reasons to go for actively trying to discern what the movement of pure consciousness is. Not everything has to come from the mind. And it's not intuition, though it might feel like that for beginners. If it were true, then anybody who was ever truly awake would not do anything. Would not do anything. Wouldn't physically move at all. You see, that would be the consequence. But it's not so. We now know that the lack of movement either is pure consciousness is doing it, or there are concepts that nothing needs to happen, nothing ever happened, therefore I'm doing nothing too. Or an arrogance is there, well, let others serve me, I'm awake now. We have all these different versions. Or the functioning mind has got too burnt out. There's all these different things that can happen. But to say that awake means stillness, physically, in the physical form, not at all. Stillness inside, absolutely. If your attention is on God all the time, all right. And if a personal agenda comes in because you want something, well, this hasn't completely burnt out all of these things then.
Conceptually, that makes sense. I think it's a chair question.
Okay. Okay, good. Yes, Denise.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. This work has been terrific.
Great.
And I kind of went back to a point in my life with betrayal. Betrayal was a big thing for me, and I was pretty young, and it kind of tentacled into rejection, abandonment,
and
really deep. So I was so young when that happened, emotionally, I didn't have the mental capacity to process, you know, so that's how, because so I dissected it and looked at how the emotions connected with the mental.
Yes.
So I started pulling that apart and I actually mapped out my life and looked at all these different areas where betrayal that even manifested into the victimhood and other things, you know,
yes.
it kind of tentacled out.
Yes.
So I mapped it all out and I even looked at how I took it, and I'm going to use the word I, it's just this personality called Denise, took it and like manifested it in my relationships, and it manifested in work, and it manifested, you know, and each time it will, and I was like, wow, you know, and I saw that it was just this big illusion and this thing that was playing, you know, that I was playing with and buying into and, you know, taking the loop. And if it got dissatisfied over here, it would, you know, start moving it over here and moving it. So I was like, so I took all that and really put it in the fire last night. I was, you know, I'm just at the fire needs to be moving, like, after that in the fire. So I just want some reading to make sure I'm kind of
totally on the money.
Good. And just support in, I mean, it's caught me a few times where it's kind of like, oh yeah, there you are. Yeah,
there you
are. And I've been able to just kind of pull back, which has been really good for me. Or also movement is very good for me to keep me in my stillness.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
that has helped me kind of be able to observe it. Instead of sometimes when I sit, like, I'll appear. So I just want to just make sure that I'm...
You're fine. You're absolutely going on track.
Thank you so much. That was huge.
Yeah,
huge.
Yeah. It was
thank
huge.
You.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Connie and then Mary.
So two things.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, Annie was saying that stillness was the energy field when he was in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. She was...
It was
Lina. Lina, can you say that beautiful thing again? That's what I wanted Derek to hear.
She's like, what did I say?
When you go, yeah, I don't know how it's going to come out. But, when I was sitting in the chair, when I got up, I could feel a difference. I just didn't... It didn't click. I just kept on going. And then later on that day, I went, oh, that's stillness. The word is perfect, but it doesn't mean being still. It's an energy field. And that's, I mean, it's moving, it's movement. Mm. But it's stillness. Stillness itself is a field of movement, or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not, it's not that kind of stillness.
Yeah, it's oscillating sometimes.
Yeah, for me, it has, you can be walking or running or talking. I mean, right now, I'm in it, and I'm, you know, moving. But it's like I am in it and aware that I'm in it. And that I guess I've been in it before, but just coming off that chair, something clicked. It was like all of a sudden, oh, this is what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
She used the word space. First she said, it's a space, and that really clicked for me. And then she said, it's a field of energy, and I wrote it down because it was so perfect for me.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
That really worked.
Yeah. And so that's how the non-physical shows up in the physical form. These are the words, these are the interpretations in order to explain it. But it's non-physical, and that's the tricky thing. But this is how it looks physically and is experienced physically.
Yeah, because for me, I associate it with like parasympathetic rest and digest state.
Okay.
That's calm, that's peace, that's still, all those adjectives. And when there's something to be done, that I need my sympathetics. I need an aroused nervous system to be able to do something.
Okay.
That I'm...
Okay. It isn't... it's not dependent on your body being in that state. Though that state of rest and digest is a fantastic bridge to it, it's not it in and of itself.
Connie.
Yeah,
so why is it so hard for you to give up chocolate?
For who?
You don't
I don't eat chocolate. My last July was my last piece of chocolate.
Okay.
Oh. Darla.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that it was also hard for you.
Oh, it was at the time, sure. It was, yeah. Yeah, the biology is just bonkers. It's like, shoot, Derek is listening to this. Oh my God, my body's craving this. But I'm fine, you know. Like, I would say that to just to not give a mixed message, you know. But, yeah. No, I'll give it up.
Sure.
Yes, Mary.
So, okay,
sorry,
I'm trying to understand this. Oh,
yeah, that's okay.
Mary.
Sure, you're fine.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That's okay.
It's my fault.
Okay. I'm trying to understand this. So, there is the energetic field. And when that starts to move out into duality, love is the force.
Love is there prior to it.
I understood what Derek... I understood it the same way that he said it. I mean, something was about... I can't remember what was said. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We're going into a danger zone because the more we condense and labelize and box that which isn't even here at all, we're going to lose it. We're going to be naming it as something that it's not. So the best we can do is kind of say, this is how it can be phenomenally experienced. It originates from love. It is love.
It is.
It
okay.
is love.
Okay.
Originates, can I scratch that? It is love.
The field is.
No. Love is all of it. And we experience it as a field.
Oh, okay.
You see?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm
enough for now.
I'm reluctant to be more because we are heading into an area that's full of errors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just stay inside and how it shows up for you is fine. It's more that, you know. Mary, here we
are. I'm going to change my question based on what Mary just was talking about. So I'm a little confused about
this idea of love, because I guess I don't have the experience when I go through stillness and everything of love. I also don't have the experience of I, so I couldn't say that's my true nature.
Yes.
You know, so I'm assuming that that's just the way
Okay, full embodiment means it blows the heart open. Full embodiment.
Okay, so that's the love.
Yeah, that's when love comes in for most.
Okay, that makes
sense. Full embodiment. Okay. It's like it's coming right down and it whacks open the heart chakra.
Okay, that would make sense.
Because very often the awakening is conceptual. And it's like as it comes down, it's like, oh shoot, this whole thing is about love.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I think that describes it pretty well.
Yeah.
So the business about, like, if words are kind of bad here. If I'm experiencing stillness, there is no I there.
Yes.
So if someone were to ask me, what is your true nature, or is that your true nature, I would have a hard time answering that question.
Yes. That's great.
Oh, okay.
That's great. But we use those labels to give people signposts.
Okay. And then my other question is, could you say a little bit about the difference between what's on the board and liberation? You kind of indicated there's a difference.
Mm. Mm. Well, we've been touching the liberation thing all week, actually. So if we go linearly, this being the densest, huh? And then the real... And then over here, liberation. You have the ability for the two lenses are always there, never contradict each other. So the dual and the non-dual lens. Always available at the same time. Okay, I write up simultaneous if I could spell it. Literally. And the third one is what's unreal are clear all the time. They don't clash. You know that this is real and it's not real, and you know that the other one is real, and there is a tension inside all the time. Something doesn't forget about God. Something just doesn't forget about God. But you can pick up, and you can pick up the dualistic lens at any time. Not this part, because you've no interest in this, because the fulfillment is there. The contentment is there. So it doesn't run into this. Segue. I'm not sure when it was, but I was just living in St. Augustine, 2014 maybe. And every now and then I'd go see somebody. It's very rare actually. There's been about maybe four in the last 10 years. I'd see a practitioner for something that would be kind of in the psychic line to see if they're any good, to see if I can refer them. And I went to see this woman in St. Augustine who channeled something and was like, fine, yeah, fine. But they did say something that made me go, oh, that's interesting, that's a part of duality and that might serve me well to pick it up. I didn't ever refer anybody to this person, but I did get something interesting. And what she said was, yeah, personal goals will really serve you very well. I was like, what? set personal goals in years. What would I have personal goals for? Actually, it would really work well for your personality to set you goals. You're task-oriented. I'm like, oh, shoot. I was like, you're right. You're right. So, it's okay to get rid of more than what you need. You might have to pare right down and bring back what you know is not you believing in the dualistic world. Like for me, I got rid of everything, and then it took years for little bits of things that were useful for my character to find out how I could be in better balance and be of better use to the world, really. And those little bits get added back in. The universe will find a way to add them back in. It's okay if you get rid of them all. It's okay. But as you go, find out what keeps you in balance, what keeps you well, get rid of everything else. So like Cheryl the other day, we watched this series in the evenings. Yeah, but that's your relationship. You got to feed your relationship. Do you know? But missing the sounds of nature and keeping her mind busy all the time with podcasts, no matter what she's doing, we get rid of that one. So there's a weeding down, a whittling down to find out what you know is making my personal self more busy, more connected to the world. Can we get rid of those? Let's just keep what keeps me well and keeps me balanced. You've got to figure that out yourself. You've got to develop the wisdom in order to know the difference. And don't kid yourself. Just don't kid yourself. And if you do, you'll bite yourself in the ass. So this lens of perception needs to be available to you so that you can manage yourself. That's what I'm talking about, doing those kind of things. For me, it's important for me to have goals. It's just important. It's like, actually, it really works. It's unreal, but it really serves this jackwoman. It really does. So having that unreal lens of perception in a practical way to find out what works for your personality, that unreal perception is there to manage the character. But you know you're not the character. At the same time, there is something in that spacious stillness all the time. So you've got what's real and what's unreal, and there's no clash. So what's real and what's unreal run at the same time. And there's no shifting. There's no flip-flopping. They're smooth. Okay. Shifting into liberation, a few things happen. Number one, identified with this, I am pure consciousness, I am awareness, I am love. This will drop. Identity with this will go. Actually, that was probably the most important thing to write here. Identity with self. So you start off getting rid of identity with the small self, and then you have to get rid of identity with the large self. But it really is post-awakening, because you've got to get this secure and embodied, and when the heart is open, okay, now we're talking about this. We're talking about going over here. Identification with this goes. The dual and the non-dual lenses are always available at the same time. So it's real and it's unreal. You can see how it works. So yeah, I can say that this is real, and it helps me to kind of honor what I'm doing and work from the phenomenal values of integrity and honesty and doing the best that I can, and those kind of values run. I got rid of them for a few years, and then it's like, actually, shoot, they're just coming back. Okay, we'll integrate them again. So all lenses of perception are available to you. Your perception gets much wider than this. So like you'd be able to access, oh, it never happened. Oh yeah, it's already happened. Can you go into those zones of where that viewing point is valid? Where that is the reality feel, the reality of that viewing point. You see? See all those different lenses of perception. There's a lot of blank faces. Okay. There are different viewing... Yes, Mary?
Is the liberation beyond the dual and non-dual?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's...
It is, yeah. It is, yeah.
No time, no space.
No time, no space. Space and time break down. Well, time breaks down for you to wake up.
But you have the choice, right, of using them.
That's right. Yeah. So more than the dual and the non-dual lens are available to you. Other subtleties can be seen because the whole spectrum is out in front of you. The whole spectrum is just lying there. So you can pop in and out of viewing things from different... Yes, Kim?
This reminds me of Nisargadatta talking about right action.
Yes.
When the action comes, it's just
That's what he called about it, right? Right, yeah, that's what he called it, right action?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pure perception
that,
moving through
yeah,
form.
Yeah, that it's just moving right through.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's not action.
That's right.
No, not,
sometimes
you don't,
it's not
you don't move.
That's right.
And other times, that's it.
That's
and
right.
It's always appropriate to the moment. And
yes. So I always put a little bit of a question mark over it's appropriate to the moment. Because your mind is the one who will make it appropriate to the moment. We really
right,
don't
right.
know.
That's not his language, actually.
Yeah.
No.
We really don't know. We will always make things fit and appropriate, and we'll always find a lesson in everything. And that's our mind trying to make sense
yes.
of this world. And that happens. But just to know that it's the mind doing it. We can see the appropriateness in everything. But there's always a danger that we justify things when we're looking for appropriateness.
He was kind of dispassionate about
yes.
acting or not acting.
Yes. Yes.
Actually.
Yes. Mary, did you? Yes.
And so the cause and effect thing?
Yeah.
That's in
it's
that's
valid
in the unreal.
It's valid here.
Okay.
In the dualistic realm only.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
time and space breaks down. Space can come in and out of here, but yeah, I mean, space and time have completely seen through here. This, you know, even this shows up to be not real.
So the action or non-action doesn't have anything to do with cause and effect.
That's right. It has nothing to do with cause and effect. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so any lens of perception is available to you, and then free action. It's action that is just free of any motivation, of any rationale. Mind plays catch up. Just free action. And this is real freedom. This is
oh,
free freedom.
Yeah.
It's real freedom.
It's real freedom. Yeah, it's gone into lunchtime. But yes.
I have a little confusion with before liberation, if you get rid of me and wants and everything.
Yeah.
And then you're living your true self when you awaken.
Yeah.
Where does personality split everybody up? Because it seems like we would all be doing the same thing, which I see in most awakened or enlightened beings seem to be living what they are, which is that truth and teaching and being compassionate and love for others and serving. You're one of the few that I know that wears clothes like us and relates kind of like us and has a husband and... But most of them are just living that love and compassion and teaching. So I'm wondering how to still love music and still have my personality. And
if you're attached to music and attached to personality, there's a problem. Let's see if they come back to you, Danny.
Mm.
Let's see if they come back to you.
Well, I have a feeling, a sense of wanting to serve and teach. And, you know, the more I discover what's already there, it's like a natural feeling of wanting to share that with others so that
that will wear out.
More pleasant.
Yeah, that will wear out, the natural feeling of wanting to share. You'll end up doing it for no reason at all.
Okay.
You won't be able to help yourself.
Yeah, that's what I see all these teachers are doing the same. Maybe a little
unless I really challenge them or talk to them privately, I I'll be responsible for myself.
Okay.
I don't know. There's a mixed bag out there, you know?
Yep. So it's just like we have all these options, but you really need to go start in the beginning and go all the way through to be able to use them all.
Yeah.
Because if you miss some, you're going to get into trouble.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, you can't jump anything.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. That find with a lot of teachers you jump.
Yeah. And a spiritual concept, you know, negated something else.
Right.
And it's like you have to dig up every stone.
You've
gotta have the humility to like, maybe I'm fucked up actually after all. You know? You know? Elizabeth, yeah, that's the last one.
So you're talking about a space before on the other side, on another side. Okay. I'm just curious about, you know, people talk or their experiences of other realms.
Yes.
Where would that fit in here?
Yes, like angelic realm and...
Apostle realm, astral realm.
Oh, yeah.
Energetic light beings.
It's in the unreal illusionary world.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so the mind is making it?
Ultimately, it's a concept believed into existence, just like this is. Concept believed. But it's as real as this is.
Right.
You know, those other places and, you know, Atlantis and all the rest of it, they're as real as this is. So they exist within this movie, but no, they would be seen through, yeah.
So there's no reason to have interest in that.
Not at all, unless you get dragged in there because of something that you got to heal. Don't touch it. Enjoy your lunch. See you at 3:00.
Thank you.
And please be quiet to stay inside.